We are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and you'll find it on the bottom of page 261. The Lord called Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. He is the Lord, and this is his word.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I was preaching on this passage a few years ago in my previous church, And what we had there in the congregation, we had a young lad. It was an all-age service, and we had a young lad who was called Samuel. And Samuel was quite a bright lad. But as some teenagers, some young people do, you may have picked this up, they can be totally and utterly with it, but they still give that slight impression of being totally in a planet of their own. Don't know whether you've ever come across that. And Samuel was the kind of guy who would do that. He kind of looked, we sometimes refer to him as the space cadet. He was always there. He was always very alert, very sharp, but kind of gave that impression. And what I arranged with him was that as I was retelling the story, every time I called out Samuel, that he would get up, rush up to the front and go, "Yeah, what do you want?" And so the first time that I did it, and called out, and the Lord said, "Samuel," and he jumped up and he came round to me, "Yeah, what do you want?" So I don't want anything. What have you done? He said, "Well, you called. I've come. What can I do?" And people kind of thought, "Well, that's quite amusing that he was so much in a world of his own that he called your name and you came running." But it's kind of sweet that he wanted to help. So he went back and then carried on with the story. And a second time I called out, "Samuel," and he jumped up and he ran to the front. And people thought, "Well, he really should have learnt the first time." Come on, if there was ever a reason to kind of switch on, that was probably it. I said, no, just go back and just sit in your seat. The third time I called out Samuel, he jumped up, he ran to the front. And at that point I said, "Actually, next time if you hear your name, just call out, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And people, this is a setup. They started to get that actually there was something else going on within all of this. And then on the fourth time when I called, "Samuel, Samuel," he called out, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And by that point, everybody within the congregation was going, "What is he going to say?" They were ready to hear what the message was. And I wonder whether a lot of us are like that congregation were on that Sunday morning. God is trying to speak to us, but we're so caught up with the immediate world around us that it doesn't occur to us that anything else might be trying to break in. And as God's call gets louder, we're perhaps more inclined to get irritated than interested. And when he calls again, we maybe start to realize that God is attempting to say something to us, and then we put ourselves in a position where we can really be ready to listen, ready to hear what's being said. And even when it comes to prayer, we so much focus on what we want to say to God, the issues, the concerns that are on our hearts, rather than stopping to consider whether there might be something that he wants to say to us. Perhaps we're a little more open when we read the Bible, because that's how we expect God to speak when he behaves himself. But for God to speak to us in our prayers hasn't often been our experience, and so it doesn't feature within our expectation. The people of Israel were much the same. In the opening verse that Helen read to us, we hear, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. They had little experience of God speaking to them directly, and even less expectation that he might. And the fact that immediately after being told that there were not many visions, we hear that Eli's eyes were weak, suggests to me that it's not just his physical eyes. Graham shared this morning about losing his hearing. For Eli, he was losing his sight, but not just his physical sight. He was perhaps losing something of his spiritual sight, of his ability as a leader, as a judge over Israel. He's meant to be a spiritual father to the nation, and yet can't even be a decent father to his own two sons. And the early chapters of 1 Samuel chart Eli's ministry being replaced by that of Samuel as the nation moves from having judges to having a king. And one of the things that makes Samuel suitable for that role of ushering the nation through that change is that he is a man who listened
to God. The final couple of verses in our reading for today were, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord." And that process of being someone who listens to God, someone who hears what God is saying, it starts right there in 1 Samuel chapter 3. But what about for us? Maybe we're not all called to be prophets. But the New Testament makes it clear that every Christian, having received the Holy Spirit, is able to hear God speak to them. Peter uses Joel's prophecy on the day of Pentecost that I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Paul encourages the Corinthian church to prophesy above all the other spiritual gifts. One of the fundamental principles of Baptist churches, which we are, the clue's in the name, Hartford Baptist Church. One of the principles of being a Baptist church is that every member is a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, and that as we seek him together, we discern the mind of Christ. We have a God who speaks in many and various ways, and so within our prayers it is essential that we listen. But how do we do that? There are some parallels that we can draw with Samuel that might help us as we seek to talk with God in our prayers rather than just talking at him. So first of all, Samuel was in the right place at the right time. And usually when we use that term, we kind of mean it's just a bit of a coincidence being in the right place at the right time. And it was, to some extent, for Samuel. He didn't know God. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet. He had no expectation of God, which is probably why we get this comical coming and going to Eli. And yet he was in the right place at the right time. He was in the tent at Shiloh, which was where the people of Israel were meant to come and meet with God and listen to him. We see that Eli is just lying in his usual place. But Samuel is lying right in the tabernacle. The NIV translates it as temple. That's a little bit misleading. The temple wasn't built at that point. When I came in this morning, Helen was going, "Do you want me to say temple or do you want me to say tabernacle? What do you want me to do?" Because she picked up on that. But he was there in the tabernacle. Not just in the tent, he was right at the center where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. This was a wooden box covered with gold, with statues of angels on the top, and it contained things like the Ten Commandments, some of the manna that they had while they were walking in the wilderness, Aaron's staff. They were real markers of the identity of the nation of Israel formed through that Exodus experience. More than just a reminder of times past, this was the place where God was considered to live. You might argue we've been trying to put God in a box ever since. At this point, gods were considered to act locally. They were having a place on earth where they lived. And so each Jew was meant to make a pilgrimage to this tent and later on to the temple in Jerusalem to meet with and worship God at certain points through the year. And it's only as Jesus takes some of the meaning of the temple and replaces it with himself, and as the Holy Spirit comes on all believers everywhere, that the idea of God being located in a specific place starts to diminish. Though I suspect when Christy and I head off to Rome on holiday later this year and go and have a look around the Vatican, we'll probably find there's still a number of people that go on pilgrimage. And it's not just a Roman Catholic thing. Protestant Christians find the place of the latest revival and they go to Toronto or they go to Pensacola or they go wherever it's all happening. Or to be more precise, wherever it's all happening and you can still get decent hotel accommodation. They don't flood quite so much to the poorer areas where there is revival breaking out. But for Samuel, he's lying at that very place that people came to meet with God. He's there through the night. The lamp of the God was lit at twilight. It was lit right the way through till dawn. So it's dark. The sanctuary's quiet because there were no visitors at that time. And that, I think, is one of the first keys to meeting with and listening to God. We need to be in a place where we can meet with him and with sufficient peace to hear his voice. Now, of course, I'm not saying we can't meet with God in activity, with noise, with service. Of course we can. But my experience is that those tend to be meeting with God in encouragement rather than meeting with him to hear his voice clearly. And I know for many of us, life is busy. And perhaps with other responsibilities, it seems impossible to find the time and space to meet with God. A 17th century Roman Catholic bishop was speaking about this making time to listen to God. And what he put it this way, his name is François de Sales, half an hour's listening is essential, except when you're very busy. Then a full hour is needed. There's a Bill Hybels book called Too Busy Not to Pray. It's that same idea. If we want to hear God, it's essential that we make time and space to listen. So he's in the right place at the right time. Samuel was also teachable. Eli is a pretty dismal failure as a father and as a judge of Israel, but he's still the best person available. He's not setting the bar high. And when he realizes that it must be God calling to Samuel, he doesn't just dismiss Samuel until he realizes it for himself. He doesn't even just go, oh, it's God talking to you. What he does is he gives Samuel the tools to respond to this God that he's never met before. He says, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel takes it on board. Well, almost. He goes back, he lies down, he waits for the call, Samuel, Samuel. And then he almost repeats what he's been told to say. He goes, speak, for your servant is listening. He drops the Lord. Now that might just be a bit of variation to make the story a little bit more interesting, with no real significance. But it might just be an indication that he's still not sure who it is that's really calling to him. However we take that point, he's still willing to follow Eli's instructions, becoming open to hearing God. And perhaps for some of us in our desire to hear God speak to us, we need to come alongside someone who can guide us more than I have time to in this talk this morning. I know that in the home groups, immediately after Easter, we're going to be spending a couple of weeks focusing on listening to God. But feel free to ask your home group leader before then, how do they listen to God? If you look around, you can see some of the home group leaders going, no, please don't. Ask them. Or ask one of the deacons. Huh? Or someone else that you respect in terms of their faith going, I want to hear God. How do you do it? How can I learn from you? We need to be teachable as Samuel was. Then Samuel was willing to listen. Not just using a mechanical formula, there is this desire to hear what God might actually say. There's a hunger in him for something of the God that he's heard about but never met. And so when he responds with this call, speak for your servant is listening, there's this genuine longing to hear something. And in some ways, our willingness to listen can be measured by the time that we give to doing it. There are times in my life where I've had a big decision to make and I've taken time away from the usual routine to pray, even sometimes to fast while I sought God. I've had that desire to hear him and put myself in a place where I can do that. So when I was considering my first pastorate, Keystone Church on the Isle of Dogs in the East End of London, weighing up, was that the right thing for me? I went away and stayed with this wonderful Christian couple up in Yorkshire for the weekend. And on the Saturday, I said, I need to meet with God. I don't quite know how. So what I will do, because this is what people do if they want to meet with God, at least in all the things that I'd read, was you go out and you walk in the countryside and you consider nature. I have no idea why that's the thing that you do, but if that's what you do, I went out and they were right on the edge of Bradford, but very easy to get out into beautiful countryside from there. And I walked and I said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And oh, look, there's a nice tree. And after a couple of hours of doing this, I'd come to the conclusion that the countryside around there is beautiful, but I still had no idea what it was that God was wanting me to do. So I stopped walking and I sat down and I had a pad of paper with me and I just started to write what were some of the pros and what were some of the cons. And as I went through that process, as I sort of stopped, oh, there's a tree. As I stopped doing that, God started to speak and started to say, actually, there is something I have for you to do there. This is a course that I want you to pursue. This is the right next step. On another occasion, I had a telephone call. I won't say that it was from Dawn. Following the church members meeting here, saying that as a church, you had agreed to call me to come and be senior pastor here. And I didn't want to give an immediate answer. This was something that was significant for you, and I'll be honest, significant for Christy and I as well. And when that phone call came through, I was already away on a retreat. I rang Christy back at home, and we talked and we prayed together over the phone. We went to bed, probably before that, I think we both prayed individually. Just, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? And the next morning, I thought, right, I really need to give this thought, consideration. I knew I was going to be talking to Dawn later on in the day. I'll go for a walk, because actually going for a walk is, for me, it's a good way of getting that thinking time, that processing prayer time without any of the distractions. And by the time I'd got to the end of the driveway of the retreat centre, my mobile phone went off. So much for no distractions. And it was Christy. And so as I was doing this walk for about probably first 3 miles of the walk, we were talking. And we got a sense of what God had been saying to Christy, what God had been saying to me. And ultimately saying, actually, this is what God is saying. He is calling us to come to Hartford Baptist Church. Taking that time, being willing to listen. And that, I don't think for either of us, we got this audible voice from heaven, kind of like the lottery. It's you. It wasn't any of that kind of thing. But it was that. And I know some people do get that audible voice of God. I'd love to have that. I never have. But just that deep inner conviction in our hearts that this was what God was saying. Sometimes we find that through talking things through with other people, through just all the circumstances pointing in the same direction. There's all kinds of ways that God speaks to us. But we need to be willing to listen. And having listened, Samuel was then willing to share what he'd heard. What God spoke to Samuel was a prophetic message, and prophecy is meant to be passed on. I suspect, and it seems from the passage, he wasn't altogether keen on being the messenger for that particular message. It's one of judgment on Eli and his family, and the person he had to share it with was Eli. We're told he was afraid to share it, but he still did so. And when God speaks to us in our prayers, sometimes there'll be something that is just for us. God knowing your situation, your specific circumstances, and just wanting to speak a message of encouragement and love into that. And that is wonderful when that happens. But sometimes what God says to you is something that will need to be passed on. But when we do that, we need to bear in mind another factor of what Samuel does, and that is that he shares with humility. He'd never encountered God before. He's fearful to share the news, and so he brings it to Eli so that Eli can help test it and weigh it. Did I hear God correctly? In this case, what was said to Samuel reinforced an earlier prophecy. If you want to know what that prophecy was, it's at the end of chapter 2. And whenever we feel that God is saying something, particularly something directional, something that's more prophetic, then we come together to test it, to weigh it. Is this God? Does it fit with the other things I know about God? Does it fit with what I know of the Bible? Is it loving? And then finally, for Samuel, he listens to God regularly. It's not just a one-off event. It's not just a, oh, I've got a big decision, I'd better listen to God here. It's clear that Samuel's regular habit was spending time listening to God. You see that even more in the life of Jesus. John 12, verse 50, whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Or John 15, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Part of what you've called me to this church to do is to try and hear God for us as a church. But that doesn't mean that because I'm trying to do that, you don't get to do it. Or even that you don't need to do it. We've got to recognize that when we come together, when we speak with God, he is rather wiser than we are. Prayer is not about bending God to our will, but about bringing us closer to his. He does graciously change situations as we pray about them. We'll look more at that next week. But he also changes us for the situations that we face as we listen to him. So maybe we need to take that prayer that Samuel was taught by Eli and incorporate that into our regular prayer life. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And maybe when we pray, we need to keep a notebook or a note app on your phone or however works for you to do it. To jot down anything that you feel God may be saying, to give it proper, prayerful consideration, reflection. Maybe share it with others in your home group, if you're part of a home group. If you're not, join a home group and then share it with them. We are meant to be a people who listen to God. In Psalm 95, the psalmist writes down this message from God that because the people did not obey what God had told them, they weren't able to enter into his rest. Hebrews picks up on that passage in Psalm 95 and has a few chapters of Hebrews are kind of explaining that. And this whole sense of today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart as they did in those days. So I wonder what you need to take on board this morning. Maybe it's just one of those points. Maybe it's about making that right time and place, being teachable, having a willingness to listen, a willingness to share when you've heard, having that humility when we do share, about making it a regular part of your practice. That may feel taking on all six of those is too big a step. But it may be there's one that God has been highlighting to you as we've been looking at this morning. I'm just going to give a moment of quiet for you to reflect on what God has said to you. Then I'm going to pray and we're going to sing together our final song, which is Hungry, I Come to You. Within that song, there's that sense, I will wait for you. I will wait for you, making that time to listen to God. But we'll just leave a moment of quiet. I'll pray, and then the band will lead us in our closing song. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who communicates. You're a God who speaks, who reveals himself to us. We pray that you will help us to make time to listen, to have that heart to earnestly seek you, to share what it is that you've said, to make this a regular part of our practice, our lives, that we might be those who hear the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.